know what it is. And some of us try and pass it off as just want to get an extra hour of sleep, but there's something in you that is saying there is more. When you're eating your breakfast, there's something in you. When you're looking at the news or whatever your daily ritual is, how you start the day, you start thinking in your heart, there is more. When you get in your car and you start that engine and you go to wherever you're going, to school, work, or to go pray for someone, or whatever you do in the morning, something inside you keeps stirring for more. And halfway between your trip, and you're thinking about, I think I'm just going to quit today and just and not even go in, because you're just feeling this unction, you're feeling this restlessness, you're an uneasy, and you don't know what's bothering you. You don't know why you're feeling like that. Well, it's not your job, because I tell you what, your job is there to be a blessing, for your life to be blessed, to sustain you, but it's not there to make you happy. I don't think anyone could say, I'm going to just go to work because I'm going to be happy about working. Because you know what? Work was a curse from the beginning. Amen? If it was supposed to make us happy, it wouldn't be under the curse catalog. Right? Amen. Because we live as the children of Adam, which we are, we're under that curse, but we're living under the grace of Jesus. You can be Adam by nature or Christ by faith. Amen? Amen. And we have to go by day, because that's how the world rolls, and that's how we have to roll in this world if we're going to change people's lives. So it's not your job not there to make you happy. It's just supposed to be sustained and to give you things to give and to be a blessing and to be in people's lives. But deep down inside, deep down in your heart, you know that there's something more. How many of us, when we actually look at our friends and we see them, and sometimes, you know what, it's easy. When you're probably mature in the faith and you've gone through your battles and you've seen a lot and your kids may be out the door, it's easy for you to think you're just alone. It is. It's easy to look and say, hey, I fought, I've prayed, they're doing pretty good. But at the same time, you know, what else? What else? There's something more out there. There's something more out there. We all have the same goal, the same hope, the same destiny, and that there is something more. There's something more in our faith, more in our life. Now, how many of us look at friends that are sick? And we're going to go and pray for them. We're going to pray for them. But then if they're just looking at us, because I got calls that all the time that come in, and I never hear from my family, ever. None of my family. But when someone's in the hospital, they call. And that's a good thing. They know who to call. But the thing is, that's the only time that they call. And I go in there, and I pray, and they're on their deathbed, wrecked in a motorcycle. I think I hadn't talked to one of my cousins for years, and all of a sudden, his mom's calling me that her boy's, she's crying. I'm like, a little baby boy like that. My baby's hurt. You need to get to the hospital. I'm like, wait a minute. I'm thinking it's one of the grandkids. I go, oh, you mean that big old guy? Oh, he can roll off a couple of bikes. He'll be okay. So I went over there and I prayed for him. And that's the only time I hear from them sometimes. And that's fine. But then it's like I look at them and I just feel in my spirit, feel in my heart, there is something more than just your healing. I mean, it's just a healing. It's nothing to God. It is nothing to God to heal you. That's the simplicity of what we're part of. That's the simple part. There's something more. It's eternal. It's life. It's faith. How many of us look at friends that have lost their jobs? And we see it in the news all the time. And boy, the news can paint some real grim things. I mean, they concentrate on that. There's nothing really. There's like 18%. I looked at the statistic. 18% of the news is actually something decent or good or hopeful. So that leaves, where's the other 82% go? It's grim, it's destruction, it's all hell's coming loose. Because they want you to tune in again. If everything was happy, people aren't going to tune in because they're happy, enjoying life. They're not going to be worried about life. And on the news, they paint the most grimmest stories. And you look at it, and you're thinking, you know what? There's something more. You see people losing their houses. It's a horrible time, but it's nothing that this country hadn't gone through before. Amen? I mean, if you look at it, the World War I era, that group of people were the toughest people in our country's history, because they're able to stand up, build up, and say, we're not going to give up. We're going to stand forward. We're going to work together. We're going to agree with each other, and we're going to make something happen. It's amazing after 9/11 how many Democrats, Republicans, you've seen holding hands in hands and singing songs and going like this, but a year or two later, nothing's changed. Nothing. Nothing's changed. Devastation's supposed to bring revival. Devastation's supposed to bring just people wanting God in their life. It's more than God just healing the moment. Amen? It's more than seeing someone losing a house or losing their job. You know, a job, a house, replaceable. That's easy. That's God's thing. He can do that. God can knock that out quick. That's not a problem. Maybe a little bit of time. You're going to go through a rough time and stuff. But you know what? It's easy for God. It's easy for God. Now, when you look at everybody, and you look at everybody that's around you, and you see how they walk through life, something in you wants you to tell them. When they look at your life, something in you wants you to tell them, there's more to me. You see what I'm driving now? It doesn't matter what I'm driving, but there's something more in me. There's something more about my life and about my faith and about my love that you'll never see. But if you give me 5 minutes and we can sit down, I can show you what's happening in my life. It is hard when you look at people walk through you, through the store. How many times when you go in the morning, and I was looking at this morning when I was driving here, and I'm all coming to church, everything. Of course, I was telling Pastor, I remember a thing that John Osteen said at one time. It was funny. He had, of course, a whole group of kids, and he's dragging them all in the station wagon, throwing them all in there, smacking them and everything. And he said, it doesn't get holy and sanctified till I hit the door. I open the church door. It goes, all else, God forgives. I got to drag these kids. He goes, I got to preach at 10 o'clock. We can get in there. And it's true, because I go through the same thing every Sunday. It gets sanctified when we hit the front door and say, hallelujah, we're at church. Praise the Lord. But in there, we're, get in the car now. But that's life. And the thing is, there's something more. When I looked at these people while I was driving, and you see it all the time, look at the car washes, the grocery stores, look at the stores that are open. Boy, they're packed. Sunday morning, 8 o'clock, and I'm like, I'm not judging anyone. I'm just saying, I hope you went to Saturday night service, because there is something more when you come to church. When you come to church. Now, the funny thing is, you look at all these people, and you know when something's about to happen in your heart, when that more is supposed to be coming. When you look at everybody that's living out there and everything that's happening, and you want to help them so much, because it's the nature of Christ that's in you. It's the nature of Christ that's in you that wants to see someone succeed. It's the nature of Christ in you that when you see someone sick on the bed, you want to pray for them. But when you see them and your heart's pounding and your spirit's pounding in you, you know there's a bigger promise. Amen? There is a bigger promise to each one of us. Scientists did this study one time, and it's an amazing study. And I shared it on my radio show a couple of times. But its study was that there's not a need for some people to have an alarm clock. Thank God for the clock makers that there is people that need a baseball bat to get them out of bed. Because I'm one that I can actually close my eyes. I can tell my wife at what time I'm going to get up or have to get up, and I'm up. I don't need an alarm to ring at all. And that's something I've always done and always had done. Well, the scientists put these guys in there, and they put them all in a room, and they sat there, and they set this the clocks, and they said, okay, guys, we want y'all to get up at 4 in the morning exactly. 4 in the morning exactly. Okay? They put 10 people in there. 4 of them overslept. 6 of them got up without an alarm clock. So they did it the other day. The next day, they said, okay, we want y'all to get up at 5 a.m. At 5 a.m. exactly. And then they set alarm clocks for the 4 that overslept. And right before the alarm clock rang, 5 of those original 6 got up. And then right at the time, the 6th person got up. Right when it was ringing, he already was getting up. They said that there is something inside a human that they can tell when something's coming. If you look at birds, they take off. They know when something, you look at animals running. If you ever see an animal running and you're walking into the forest enjoying yourself and something runs you over on the way, it's the best advice to follow them, because they know something's coming. If you see something running that way, and me and my brother were on the freeway, I think it was just a night, we're coming back from doing something, and we're driving, and we just seen these cars just zoom, 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 and we're on 45, going towards the Greens Point area, and we're like zoom, zoom, 7, 8, 9, 10, 20 cars, and I'm like, I think we need to exit and turn around, because they look like they're running from something. But the human nature knows when something's up. Women have been said to have a sixth sense. You know my wife? She has a sixth sense with her children. Mothers have a sixth sense with their kids. They know when something's not right. They know when something's wrong. There's something in them. There's something in them. So without arguing, there's a sense in us, which is the Spirit of God, that tells us when there's going to be a blessing, when something's going to happen in our lives. Turn to Joshua 1:8. Actually, let's start in Joshua 3:7. Now, this is the amazing thing. I read this through one of my devotional times in the morning, and it's Joshua 3:7. And this is God talking to Joshua, and says in Joshua 3:7, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that I was with, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee." Now let's read that one more time. "And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day I will begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee." Isn't that amazing that the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, knows your name? And what got me, and I even text on my Facebook, I said, I just read an awesome scripture. And what the scripture said was, God knows my name. Guys, in the very simplest place, let's not get crazy. Let's not get spiritual. Let's just say, God knows my name. And I sent that out, and I just said, you know what? It's amazing. It's amazing that he just imagined God walking in the door and say, "Sister Sharon, today I'm going to magnify thee. I'm going to put you in front of everybody just like I was with the greatest men of the Bibles and show them that I am with you." That is an amazing, amazing thing. And Joshua just went on with it. And of course, God started giving him commandments in chapter 8, what to do with the ark and stuff. But let's turn before that. Why did God know his name? Why did God already know him and commune? God was already communing with him after the death of Moses. And this is in Joshua 1:8. This is the thing that God instructed him. "This book of law should not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." That is my second favorite scripture in the Word of God, and that is so true. When he gave him that, he said, "You do this." And God gave him the mandate so quickly. He said, "Look, I'll love you like Moses. The promises are there from Moses. It's all there for you. But you do this. You do this. And it's going to happen." And what the amazing thing is, when Joshua heard that, it didn't take him any minute to think about it. It didn't take him any second to wonder about it. The first thing he did, he knew something was coming. He knew the same promises that was given to him, the same things that was given to Moses was given to him. The same promise of this land is your land. That's just not a song. This land is your land. He knew it. He heard it. He was in the desert walking the same walk with Moses. He ate the same dust. He sweated from the same sun. He ate the same manna. He seen his friends and his best friends get swallowed up. He seen people that were murmuring, arguing, and the biggest thing in all of Israel, what the biggest problem was, nobody agreed. But he put a stop to that. In a heartbeat did he put a stop to that. And we can look at this in verse 18. And he said this: "Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against any commandment and will not hearken unto thy words and all that God commandeth, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage." He automatically, once God said, "You do this and I'll give you that." And he's like, "I'm tired because I know there's more. I'm tired of walking this desert." He goes, "I'm tired of having to pack up my tent and go walk another 200 miles. He goes, "I'm tired of it." He goes, "And if no one's with me, this is how it's going to go, my friends. This is how it's going to go. Either you're on this page or you're out of this place." He goes, "I have the authority." I believe he was anointed by God at that point when he said that. He goes, "Look, God is tired of it. Come on. God is tired of it." And God says, 40 years y'all wasted. 40 years. He goes, "But now I got a man that can do this, that can get you over." And Joshua's like, no, you are not going to stop me from my blessing. It's a shame. It's a shame that sometimes in church today, not this particular church, but in church today, that we have to look at our brothers and look at our sisters and say, "You're not going to stop me from my blessing." Instead of them agreeing and moving us forward, they're mimicking, they're murmuring, they're disagreeing, they're casting doubt. Half the doubt we get is from the church people that we know, or people that are supposed to be in church and getting good. The way you get rid of murmuring, the way you get rid of bickering, you get good sound doctrine, good word of God, you get love. Love will get rid of all that. Perfect love. And half the people in here, if you turned around, and if we had more people there, and you looked at them, the other half would not be believing. 50% of the church, if you look at statistics, is actually believing and trying to move forward, while the other part of the church is trying to just take over the church and make the church theirs. Now, when he said that, when he looked at them, I think they took him seriously. I think they took him extremely seriously when he said, if you do not follow this, you will die. Now, get this. In verse 11 of chapter 1, it says, pastor the host, command the people. This is him. This is what we have to become. Well, he just turned around. God just told him in verses 8 and 9 and 10 about following this book of law. It shall not depart out of thy mouth. And he turned around. He didn't take him but one verse. How many of us can say that? It didn't take us but one verse. It just took him one verse. He turned around and said, prepare your victuals. Tell the people, saying, prepare your victuals, for within 3 days you shall pass over this Jordan and to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. He was a man on fire. He knew that deep down, his spirit sensed there was something more. 3 days down the road, a blessing's coming in. Now, how many of us know we can all have that? I mean, we can all testify. We open up the mic right now and testify that we can feel a blessing coming. How many of y'all can just sense it? How many of y'all can just tell when something's coming? When you look at it and say, just smile, and you just smile, and you say, oh no, it's going to be all right. And that's what he said. Right then, 3 days. 3 days, it's going to be all right. We're going to be walking over there across this river. We're going to be making some noise. We're going to be making things happen. Now, what did he do? He sent two spies. Real simple. He said, why did he send two spies? People go, oh, he doubted. No, he didn't doubt. But how many of us know that when we hear of a report, a good report, it makes our faith go stronger. We get stronger when we hear a good report. It's like we have to hear it sometimes. We have to hear it. And when he sent the two spies, and when the spies went over there, we won't jump in there and go through the chapters, but I'll tell you, they found someone, I think it was Rahab, and they found her, and then she was able to hide them. The first thing she said, which was very powerful, it was this: all my people have heard of your God, and they are so afraid. They are so afraid. I want people to fear like that again. Amen. I mean, it's like there's a mockery out there almost in a way. When they see us as Christians standing and trying to walk tall and walk of faith, it's like, oh, whatever. It's not that. You know, we can't give up. We know. We know there's something more. We know that we see this church full. And not only that, we see it full of spirit. God's got to fill us first. Amen? He's got to fill us first. He got to make us strong and moving better because we have so much work to do. All of us. All of us. And then people are going to be added in. But we got the leaders and everybody here needs to be strong, needs to be walking and just believing in God and making things happen. Now, if we look at verse 118 again, when he said that whosoever doeth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto the words and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. A lot of people look at that as negative. I look at it as this: you got a choice. Amen. At least you got a choice. Some of those people that were following just went way before, the few years before, they just went down through the ground, opened up, and swallowed them up. So at least these guys had a choice. And you know what he said? Is, look, when you come to church, you're part of this business. You're part of this work. You're part of this ministry. You're with it. Agree with it. We're going forward. We're going forward. If not, you got a choice. Amen. You got a choice. And that's what they had right there. They had a choice to get going. Now, when he looked at all these people and all that they did, let's look at Joshua 3:15. This is amazing. This right here, I think Joshua, these three chapters, you get so much out of this. Now, how many of us have gone somewhere? How many of us have done something for God? But God goes before us. Amen. Let me share with you in this scripture real quick.
And as they bear the ark were coming to Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all the banks all the time of the year, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up and a heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zeratan, and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea fell and were cut off, and the people passed over against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. Now, God will always, always, he will never send you into a place that he hasn't gone before you. If you are in obedience with him and you are in his hand and you are walking with him. So the priest basically walked over there to the brim. And you know how the ocean is, the water, the rivers are. They're just coming up across, rolling back. Coming up across, and just when their bare feet, their tips touched that water, it moved. Not only did it depart, but it went all the way where the waterfall was, and it was coming down, it stopped. And all the way to the other side, as far as I could see, it stopped. Now that's an amazing thing. I remember when I was in the military, I was sick at one time. I had this thing grow in my neck. I didn't know what it was, and that's another story. But when I had to go back, I had to like either stay with my team, which was the company that I was with, or I had to go start with a whole other team. Well, when I was in there, God started a whole work in the boot camp with that team, and I was like, Lord, I got to go back to the same team. I got to go back to the same team. You know, I was new in Christ, but I knew that I was touching people, and I was trying to get a hold of them and trying to save lives and change lives, or just be a constant loving figure that was there. And I was sitting there wondering how to get back. And then so the doctor signed me off, and then the duty officer at the hospital is like, okay, well, he goes, you're going to go back. We don't know what's going to happen because your company, you've been in the hospital for 2 weeks. He goes, for 2 weeks. So I don't know if you're going to have to probably start, you know, back 2 weeks, and you're going to have to go to another company because the other ones are already beyond where you need to be. And I was so down. I said, nope, God, you're going to do this. You're going to do this. You're going to make this happen. I'm 19. I'm like walking over there. Thing looked like someone just whacked my head. It's like this big scar, I still got it, but it was like the big bandage on my neck. I'm walking to the base and I'm praying and believing and saying, God, I know you're going to get me back. I know you're going to get me back. And sometimes it's the small things that make you feel the strongest. Amen. And when I walked over there, I seen a couple of guys go before me, and they're like moving me out of the way to go by, and I'm like, oh, go ahead. And I was new to the military, so I didn't know all the protocol, where to go check in and stuff. So when I got back to the where the other duty officer was, the base duty officer, he was like real mad, yelling and screaming and stuff, because these guys, evidently, I'm glad they went before me, because they got him real agitated. I was like, oh, well, great, now I got to deal with this crazy man. And I looked at him, and he looked at me, and he was so mad, and evidently they didn't get his order right for something to eat. And he was all mad about that. So God works in mysterious ways. So anyway, I walk in with my paper, and I got my paper right here, and I go, sir, he goes, don't salute me. I'm like, okay, what do I do? He goes, okay, what do you want? I go, I'm just coming back from the hospital. How long have you been gone from your company? I don't know, maybe a week. You don't know? I go, well, I was under anesthesia. I was knocked out for a couple of days. I don't know. I was playing around, and he's like, oh, okay, well, what do you want to do? I'm like, oh, is it up to me? But yeah, I don't care. He goes, I get off in an hour. I'm like, okay, well, I want to go back to my company. He's like, okay, that's their problem. And he stamped my thing. So God went before me. God created a little calamity where he was just frustrated, and he was mad because he didn't get his food or whatever, and they sent me to the next duty office. Well, when I got to the duty desk, there's so many duty desks, I got to the actual division office, the duty desk, I gave my papers, and then they say, stand right there. And, you know, I'm all, like, still learning all the protocol, so I'm, like, waiting like this, real quietly. And all of a sudden, the door opened, and it's my company commander. Oh, you're alive. I didn't see the guy the whole time I was in there. I was like, they kind of lost me in the hospital. And I'll tell you that story later, but they kind of just lost me. They didn't know where I was or anything. And then I was like, okay. And he goes, follow me. So we went there, and it's like a catwalk. It's kind of similar like this, but it's outdoor, and you have to walk. It's real narrow. And we walked across the catwalk and went to the back of his office going into the barracks. And then he opened the door and said, you stay right there for a minute. Stare at that wall. Okay, so I just stared at the wall, and it's like, you basically do what they tell you to do. I'm like, okay, and so I'm staring at the wall, and he shuts the door, and everybody, of course, when he walks in, everybody goes, attention on deck, and everybody stands up and stuff. And he just walked out for a second and kind of like looking at the side. Everybody was quiet. And he goes like this. And I walk through. I'm like, no, no big deal. I just walk through like that. And he turned around. He's your problem. Get him to the rest of basic. And he slammed the door and walked off. And everybody started crying, started clapping, start praying. Because there was three people that I was always praying with all the time in there. And one was a Buddhist, and the other one was a Muslim, and the other one was a Catholic. So we all had different opinions on how to pray and what to pray and who to pray. And we all had to rotate. Everybody prayed on a night and stuff. And it was funny because the first night, the Catholic guy sounds so elaborate, so awesome. All these words, all these scriptures that he'd throw in. But happened to be the same prayer every single night. So I was like, God, this guy's well rehearsed. And then of course the other guys prayed differently. And then in my night, I was like, I didn't know the first day when I got into boot camp, I didn't know what to pray about. But I remember going to Christian school ever since I was in like sixth grade and all the way to graduation in 12th grade. I'm like, so we got any prayer requests? Everybody's like, yeah, I got a few. And so every night they'd ask for me to do it, and they kind of bumped the other three off, and they're like, hey, get Yanez again. He prays good. So I'm like, okay, and I just start praying, and the one thing I do is pray. Amen. If you don't get anything right in this Christian walk, learn how to pray. Amen. Learn how to pray. We ain't all got to be music artists, preachers, whatever. We can pray. We can pray. We can pray. You get that right, you're going to be okay. So, yeah, so that was my missionary field there, and I would be praying with them every night and praying over there, and there's guys that I'd be praying for and just different things. So one guy just came up and hugged me. He's like, don't worry, I got it all taken care of. I'm like, okay. He goes, you're ready graduating with us in 2 weeks. He goes, he went to go take your firearms test. He did your last class in fire. He did your last class in fire school and stuff. He goes, and this guy over here, don't worry, we took care of it. You do got a dental appointment on the 18th, though. We can't cover for you. I'm like, okay, I'll go to the dental appointment. So they took care of all my stuff. And then it's like, even throughout the next 2 weeks, you know, I was not at full strength. And to move, I was like, Lord, I feel so sorry for these guys because I wasn't at full strength. And the company commander was just taking it to the team. And he's like, Yana, it's slowing you down. Everybody hit the floor. Come on, push to China. Let's go. We're all doing push-ups and stuff. No, Yana, you stand. You can't do push-ups. I'm like, I feel so bad. They're on the blacktop, hot in San Diego, burning, doing push-ups. And they're all just looking at me, counting and stuff. And they did it. At any time, he goes, anyone want to kick them off? We can kick them off anytime. Nobody would get up. No one would say anything. And then they get up. And then we get to the chow line. I get to go to the front of the chow line. They got to sit out there in the temperature and wait to get chow. I go through a chow line. I'm coming out of chow line. They're just going in, sweating like dogs, going in there to eat. Nobody wanted to kick me off. Amen. Amen. It is. And the amazing thing was that night when those guys came back and talked to me. And it's just God. God was preparing all these people's heart because he let me be a light. And then he took that light away real quick. But it burned in their hearts. The Buddhist came up and said, yeah, you know, I said, okay, Buddha hasn't answered my prayers. Let me pray tonight. He goes, I'm going to ask this Jesus guy, I'll ask him, Jesus, you true, bring Yanis back home tomorrow, 6 o'clock. It's 6 o'clock, you're home. I'm a believer. Like, really? I'm like, great. So we prayed, and he prayed and believed in Christ and accepted Jesus. And then the Catholic guy comes in, I'm so glad you're back. I am so glad you're back. I'm like, they're killing me. I go, what do you mean? They're killing me. They're like, they're really trying to kill me. I'm like, why? They don't like my prayers. He goes, so I kind of borrowed some material from you, and I kind of like, you know, did we have prayer requests? Does anyone want to be prayed for? Does anyone need me to lay hands on them? I kind of borrowed some of your material in your locker too. I'm like, that's fine. That's fine. And then the Muslim guy comes up and said, oh, yes, very peaceful. That's how I felt when you walked through the door. There may be something to this faith you have, Christianity. He goes, I missed you. He goes, it wasn't the same. Nobody to argue with. Nope, because I missed you. Like, even the Muslim loved me. So it's amazing when you look at that because God did something and with those guys. And no matter what it was, God's favor will always go before you. We look out throughout the entire Word of God. We look at through everything in this Bible. Favor is always involved. There's always something more in your heart. There's always something more in your faith. Obedience, knowing your Word of God, praying. You got to be at a position where you can look at your friends and look at your family and tell them there is something more to this life Don't look at me and judge me. Don't look at me and, first of all, I ain't got no business looking at my bank account. Amen. You don't need to have $1 million in it. All it has to do is have my faith in it and believe that God's going to take care of that. When you look at sickness and stuff, you just keep praying and keep believing. People say, why do you keep praying again? Why do you keep praying again? Because I'm just reassuring and reassuring and re-blessing and re-blessing. God never said just pray once. You just keep believing and keep making sure God is doing all that he can, because your faith is that his hands are only activated by your faith. He can only move as much as you let him move in your life. Joshua, when he looked at them, he knew. And that was the most, the picture I want you to get tonight was this. And this is where we're going to close. Joshua talked to God, and God said, this is what's going to happen. Joshua looked at life and said, yeah, I see it. I see it happening for me. I can make this happen. It's my promise, because God has promised you. Amen. We all have the same promise. Amen. Amen. If you want to stand, we can go ahead and pray real quick. Amen.